Schwartz and Adrian Broaddus.
Oh, happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome back to the show as we get going here on Sports Talk on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I've looked at the forecast. It's going to be pretty much mid to upper 80s and hot for like the next 10 days. So we are in the midst of it, folks. The days of cool weather are a thing of the past. And now we are heating up here with Chihuahuas baseball. They're back at home. Cade's back with us as well. We've got Alberto all clean shaven. He got rid of the greatest mustache in history, which I'll be honest with you, when I saw him, I didn't recognize him, Adrian. He looked about 5-10 years younger.
You know he did, Steve. But, yeah, it's a new start, maybe a new month, turning the page on April, going into May tomorrow. So maybe that's the case.
Well, I'll tell you what. Andy Enfeld's here with us right now from El Paso Chihuahuas Baseball. I've seen his mustache when he grows it from time to time. It's rare when it happens, but nonetheless, Andy, welcome back to the show. It's great to see you. Cade, welcome back as well.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
You got it. Guys, it's we got a lot to cover on the show today. It's going to be a busy one. We've got Dave DeFore joining us here at 420 to talk some playoff hoops. We've got Michael Levy from UTEP Athletics. He's going to talk about the Orange Fever Fiesta at 5. But Andy, you're kicking us off because homestand's back. The Space Cowboys are in town.
That's right.
Former big leaguer J.P. France, who a week ago was in the rotation for the Astros, he's pitching against the Chihuahuas tonight. So I'm just excited. We've got baseball back here in El Paso.
Yeah, Sugarland. They're the Astros affiliate, of course. And yeah, tonight we have 6:35 first pitch, gates at 5:30. With some Taco Tuesday specials, and it's youth baseball night. So we got a lot of youth baseball teams that'll be having fun with team parties and that kind of stuff at the ballpark.
So does that mean there's going to just be a lot of kids in team uniforms and things like
for
that?
For sure, and they're the ones doing all the pregame pageantry. Nice. I think about that when I was a little kid. If I had an opportunity to go on a professional baseball field with your teammates, like for a 10-year-old, that's pretty cool.
No, it is pretty cool. I can remember even going out to Long Beach State baseball games, and I got to throw out a first pitch at one of those games as a little kid.
Nice.
And I thought it was the coolest thing ever. And then you upgrade that all the way to a triple A game where you get to play and, you know, go out there in this awesome park in front of everybody. Like, moments like that as a kid and as a young athlete really resonate with you, and sometimes they could be that little, you know, dream and spark that continues to keep you, you know, going for the rest of your time.
I got to do that once when I was in Little League. I grew up in Burbank, so right outside Los Angeles, and we went to watch batting practice. We went to a Dodgers game, and we got to go on the field and everything. And of course, all of my teammates are on the Dodgers side of the field, but me and my brother, the Reds were in town, and my parents grew up in Cincinnati, so I got to get all the attention from the Reds players. It was pretty cool.
Oh, that sounds like fun. Do you remember any of the players that were there at that time?
Yeah, I got pictures with the guys like Sean Casey. I actually have a picture with Ken Griffey Jr. Jason LaRue was the catcher at that time. So
very
yeah,
nice.
Those the early mid-2000s of those Reds teams.
Well, Ken Griffey, after the trade from Seattle, that is pretty cool that you had a chance to meet him when you were a kid.
Yeah, I have a picture. His hand is on my shoulder, so I swore I would never watch that after a little while, because Junior's the man.
That's awesome. So Space Cowboys in town for the next 6 games, and then we've got a day off, and then more baseball. This is going to be a fun one because this is that rare 12 game homestand that's going to be happening.
That's right. Yeah, so we play 6 against Sugarland, and actually I can't think of who comes to town. It's either Sacramento or Tacoma.
I think it's Sacramento,
but yeah,
not mistaken.
We're 6, then one day, then 6, with a lot of day games coming up. So we have pretty much night games all the way this week, except for Sunday. Sunday's going to be that day game. And then we start at 6:05 on Tuesday the 7th. That's a little different. That's part of a curfew thing with minor league baseball and major league baseball, because the next day on the 8th is one of our 11 a.m. games, which is always a blast with the school kids as well.
So, in other words, when you talk about a day game following a night game, it's always best to play at 6. That way the players have at least enough time for rest, correct?
Yeah, there's some stipulation within the league that if you're playing at, I think, well, 11 a.m. obviously the next day, you must start the game a little bit earlier just to accommodate exactly for that rest.
Okay. Now, promotion-wise, strong, very strong. You guys have been off to a great start. You tell me. I know we've got, I think, the clear bag giveaway.
Correct, yeah.
On Friday.
Or
on Friday.
Yeah, clear backpack this coming Friday, presented by Party Time Ice. They're actually really cool backpacks, and they'll be used in the ballpark, or they can be used by fans in the ballpark since we are a clear back facility. But it features our Howling Dog Chihuahua logo on the face, and we actually got some very cool straps on on them. They got that Serape print. So,
oh, really?
Very sharp and really well done. So fans can, the first fans through the gates on Friday, that's May 3rd, will get one of those bags.
Before that, let's talk about the promos starting. You mentioned tonight's promos. What about Wednesday and Thursday?
Wednesday is our first GECU Bark of the Park of the year. So man's best friend is invited to come on out to the ballpark as long as you got your up-to-date shots and vaccinations. All dogs can enter at the Missouri Gate. That's beyond left field. And a great night for you to just enjoy our nation's pastime with man's best friend. Also, seniors eat free like every Wednesday, of course. Thursday, we got our 6-4-3 drink and food specials, followed along with our first responders night. So we're honoring all of our first responders, fire, PD, sheriffs, you name it. And there's actually a very cool t-shirt add-on that's available. They're available on the website, or if we have inventory left over, they will be available for purchase on the concourse at the promotions booth. But it's a very cool first responder shirt with an American flag on the back, but each stripe is a different color to represent a different industry within first responders.
Oh, nice. I like that. And by the way, you and I were both wrong. It's Albuquerque next week.
So Albuquerque comes
Albuquerque
in town.
Comes in after Sugar Land. Sacramento is the following home
state. Okay.
So,
Got it.
I know there's so many teams. It's difficult to keep track of everything. By the way, tell me about what the 6-4-3 Double Play Thursday is about.
Yeah, so it's brought to you by our friends at Speaking Rock, and we have a special item at each price point. So there's a $6, a $4, and a $3. The $6 is a neutral can, which is a seltzer drink. The $4 special is a hot dog, and then $3 you got canned beers. So great night to come out to the ballpark if you're looking for some deals.
Okay, this is the way to do it. If you're gonna go on a night when you can have a little fun at the park, but take advantage of those specials.
Oh, no doubt. I just heard $4 hot dog, and at a baseball game, yeah, sign me up.
You know, we have those. You see them all over social media. The people trying to do the 9-9-9 challenge. I don't know if you've seen that.
No, tell me that. No, I have seen that.
It's 9 innings of baseball. You got to eat 9 hot dogs and drink 9 beers, and that's like the challenge now these days.
Really?
I don't think I could do it. But if there's any day at the ballpark that you want to attempt it, well, I think Thursday's the day.
Yes.
Let me think about this for a second. Okay, let's start with this group here. Okay, Adrian, Alberto, Cade. All right. 9 innings of baseball, that's the easy part. Okay, what's going to be the bigger challenge? The 9 hot dogs or the 9 beers?
9 beers for me, 100%. I mean, come on, man. 9 beers through 9 innings? We're
it's a beer an inning.
Yeah, we're going to have to – some of those innings go quicker, too. If it's a 1-2-3 inning, we're talking about a faster one.
And with 12-ounce beers, if you go with a regular can of beer, that's going to be 108 ounces of beer. So that's essentially like, that's a lot of beers.
We should do that and then crash Tim Haggerty's booth.
Oh, my God. Poor Hags. I talked to Hags today about trying to drink a beer during the game, and he's still telling me no. He said it's not going to happen. All right, so you said the beer. Alberto, what about you? Beer or hot dogs? What's the biggest challenge for 9?
Yeah, beer. I think what Adrian said is he's very right. What if they go 3 up, 3 down?
Yeah.
Oof, that would be rough.
6 up, 6 down. You have a very like a 10-minute inning. Get right back to drink another beer. Well, that's tough. What about you, Cade?
I'm going to say the beer, too, but like, can we we need to put some respect on the hot dogs here. Think about 9 hot dogs, guys.
Just don't eat all day. Just don't eat, and then you can rack 3 right away.
No. See, then your stomach has shrank, Adrian,
exactly,
and then you're hitting you like, you know, a train by the time you've gotten 5. I mean, I feel like you can always get more liquid down, but bite, swallow can be a lot harder. So I don't know. I'm torn right there, but I would say that I don't think I could do either of those two. I can get through 9 innings of baseball, but I would need it to be like a 27-26 baseball game in order to get through it.
Okay, yeah. Remember that guy on social media who went viral for using his glizzy as like a straw for his beer?
Yeah.
Can we do that? Does that count? Because if that's if that counts, then maybe we can kill 2 birds with 1 stone in 1 inning.
We attempted to actually do that last year as like a social media contest, and it's actually very difficult to core out that hot dog and turn it into a straw. I'll be honest. Our concessions team tried it, and it got too hot. The dog got too hot, so it would just shrink up.
Not only that, these hot dogs at the ball games are not the little small ones like they used to be years
100%.
Ago. These are difficult. I mean, it's a quarter-pound hot dog?
Yeah, no, it's a good-sized hot dog.
So let's just say it's a quarter-pound hot dog. You got to eat 9 of those. That means you have to eat 2.25 pounds of beef with 9 beers.
And the bread.
And
think about
the
those
bread.
Buns.
Right. See, there's the thing. If you're getting the big hot dogs, there's almost no chance. But, like, I feel like I could put down 9 of the really small hot dogs, you know, the ones that where you get them in the tinfoil and you open it up, you're like, this is a two-biter.
But, yeah, but, I mean, for the $4 deal, the 6-4-3 double play, it's not a two-biter for $4, is it?
That's true. Yeah, no, it's a good-sized hot dog, for sure.
Yeah, this is tough.
If I had to pick, I don't think I could do either. I'd say that the hot dogs are harder for me, I bet.
You think so? Have you ever knocked down 10 beers in a 2-hour and a half, 2-hour, 30-minute sitting?
The way our games have been going, it's been at least 3, 3 and a half, so that gives us a little more time.
Here's the real question, is that if you had to choose one of them to complete over 9 innings, which one would you choose? Do you think you could get done separate from each other? The hot dogs and
either the hot dog or the beers?
Correct. That's like, I feel like that's a more reasonable.
As long as I had a safe ride or an Uber home, I'm doing the beers.
As long as I see the size of the hot dogs.
By beers 7 and 8, 9, that's good. You're going to have to that's a challenge right there.
Agreed.
That's the toughest part.
Agreed.
Me and Steve are shotgunning between 2 and 3.
Well, I mean, let me be honest with you. I probably want to drink 2 at a time if I'm going to go there. I'm not going to just drink 1 and then go into a second one.
That's fair.
I want to just try to get a few of them in and then go from there.
Right. That's fair.
Same with the hot dogs. Just knock down 3 hot dogs, 3 beers, and then pace yourself after that and hope you can get the rest of it in. It's pretty good. All right. Anyway, by the way, we're not doing the 999 promotion here with the Chihuahuas. We're doing the 6-4-3 promotion. Clear Backpacks presented by Party Time Ice is going to be Friday. Then you get the Fireworks Spectacular on Saturday with the 6:35 start and the 12:05 start Sunday with Kids Day.
And it's a huge promotion on Saturday. It's Star Wars night, so May the 4th be with you. We have all the Star Wars characters coming out, and we have a special jersey that'll be worn on field. It's a Darth Vader jersey, and
cool. That
auction actually goes live today. So if you've bid on a Chihuahua's jersey in the past, you will get that push notification. If not, we'll have all the information on our social media. Auction will run all the way through this week. Jersey's worn on Saturday night, and then the auction will close with the final out of Saturday night's game. So,
oh my god,
yeah, pretty cool jerseys, and we're excited about them. They look sharp.
Chad Middleton is listening to the show right now, former partner of ours, and he came out with a let's go when he heard the 999 promotion. He's down for that.
All right, Chad, challenge is on.
I think he's somebody that could probably, you know what? I'll be honest with you. Of all the people I know, he's probably the one that could do that and take care of it. Take care of the 9 dogs. And the 9 beers would be the easy one for him. The 9 hot dogs, that's going to be the challenge.
There you go. Come on, Chad.
I've seen Chad with beer. 9 beers is easy. It's the hot dog situation. That'll be tough for Chad.
So, yeah, after Star Wars night, we got day game on Sunday. And, of course, it's Cinco de Mayo.
Yep.
The team's going to be wearing the margaritas jersey. So come on out and celebrate Cinco de Mayo. Get yourself a nice, delicious margarita. We got the Tequila Cazadores Cantina available for fans to go hang out. That's the second level, the big doghouse. Good time. Day baseball on Sunday. Let's do it.
This is a great homestand for
you. Great homestand, yeah.
I mean, this week in particular, having the 4th on a Saturday and the Cinco Mayo on a Sunday, like, you couldn't ask for anything better than this.
Couldn't draw it up better. It's like, let's make it a movie, right? That's what they say. It lined up perfectly. So, yeah, going to be an incredible weekend. We can't wait to see everyone, especially with the weather getting so much better. It's beautiful out, so come on out to Southwest University Park and enjoy some baseball.
And the dogs are going to be around tomorrow.
That's it. Yeah, the dog days, GCU Bark at the Park, and we love those days. You see, of course, the small Chihuahuas. A lot of people, I think, have gotten Chihuahuas since the team has come to El Paso, but then you see these monster dogs. They're practically horses on the concourse, so all varieties of dogs, and it's going to be a great time tomorrow night.
Do we ever see dogs like sitting in a seat at the game?
Oh, absolutely. We have some people that actually sometimes purchase a seat for their dog because they take up that much space.
That's awesome.
Pretty incredible, yeah.
You'd have to have a big dog, though, in order to justify
100%
buying a seat. Like, they got to be a big, big dog.
I got to say, my dog's like 80 pounds, so not it's big, big dog, but not like outlandish.
Have you ever taken your dog to bark at the park when you're on the field and let him be with you?
I wish. You know, I'm running around too much. I wouldn't be able to watch him. So, no, hasn't been to a bark at the park. He's been to the ballpark before and played some fetch in the outfield, which is pretty great, but not to one of the games.
epchihuahuas.com for tickets.
Of course.
epchihuahuas.com for tickets. And because you're home next week, look, if you're looking to go like next Friday or Saturday, buy them now.
100%.
Don't wait, because the longer you wait, then guess what? As they start to fill up, they become more expensive. So get them now. Best prices possible. Best selection possible.
That's right. Yeah, and just to quickly rattle off the next week, we got Taco Tuesday, followed by Day Baseball on Wednesday. That's an 11:05 first pitch. Then we have Nurses Night Thursday night with more of those drink and food specials. Friday night, we have a rope cap giveaway. Very cool item for the first fans through the gates. Saturdays are always our post-game fireworks spectacular. And Sunday is our Girl Scout Day, Mother's Day, and we have a cross-body bag add-on that is available. So it's a very cool item, only exclusive to people that add on that item when purchasing their tickets. Again, yeah, epchihuahuas.com, and we have all the information there for you.
And what is a rope cap for people that don't know?
It's a nice classic cap. It's got a snap, but it's got the stylistic rope right atop the brim where it meets the cap.
Hey, yes, you're yeah. going a little throwback.
Yeah, a little throwback, and they're super popular right now.
Yeah, super popular right now. You know where I see them a lot is like on the golf course. You see a ton
exactly.
on the golf course, things like that. I'm going to have to see a picture of that in a second.
Well, I'll pull one up for you.
All right. Listen, terrific stuff. You've done great, as always. Thanks for dropping in. Welcome back at home. We appreciate what you brought with you as well, and we'll look forward to seeing you at the ballpark here tonight in a few hours.
Thanks for having us, Steve.
You got it, Andy. He's Andy Emfeldt, folks, joining us from El Paso Chihuahuas Baseball. 18 pass. We're doing a little NBA playoff talk next with Dave DeFore. Stick around. We'll go to Charlie One and get ourselves a traffic update. Where all of our guests always appear, and Adrian, I'm excited about this guest today. Matter of fact, when we were told that we were going to have a chance to, have some terrific guests, Dave DeFore was right there at the top of our list.
Dave DeFore joined us. He was so gracious to join us almost weekly last season in the NBA playoffs to break everything down. He does everything for The Athletic. A host, podcaster, producer, does everything for The Athletic. Love what he does. But he's also a coach and a scout, so he doesn't just analyze the sport. He coaches it as well.
It's fantastic. By the way, speaking of Longhorn Distributing, our hotline for detailing your vehicles, shop where the pros shop, Longhorn Distributing, in the middle of El Paso at 5516 East Paisano with parking in the back. Let's welcome him back to the show, the one and only Dave DeFore. Dave, welcome aboard. Great to have you back. How are you?
I am fantastic. It is good to talk to you guys, and the playoffs have been pretty good.
All right, and they've been very good. Now, before I get to basketball talk with you, I got to ask you, before we brought you on, we were talking about the 999 challenge for baseball. So, are you familiar with the 999 challenge for baseball?
I'm unfamiliar.
Okay, so here it is. 9 innings, 9 beers, 9 hot dogs. Apparently, this is the newest challenge going around social for baseball fans. So, let me ask you this. 9 innings, easiest thing you can do as a baseball fan. For you, personally, what's going to be the bigger challenge over the course of the 9 innings of baseball? The 9 beers or the 9 hot dogs?
You know, what's funny, I feel like that's not that much of a challenge, to be honest with you. As long as it's a lighter beer, I think that that's doable over the course of 3 hours. And, you know, if you're not doing anything else for the rest of the day afterward, you know. If I was going to choose, I think the beer is probably tougher. 9 hot dogs? I don't know, man. You work out pretty hard before you go to the game. I feel like you could crush 9 hot dogs pretty easy.
Now, what if the game is 2 hours and 15 minutes like we're starting to see here with this new pitch clock?
You know, the pitch clock does kind of throw – you know, I wonder if it's thrown off alcohol sales because, you know, you don't have as much downtime. I think the pitch clock makes it a much tougher proposition. You almost have to think, can you do 3 beers and 3 hot dogs every 40 minutes? I don't know. I think you can. Feels doable.
I like it. There's a guy that's got some confidence.
Dave DeFore is my kind of guy.
All right. Playoff games, let's talk about it. Before we talk about tonight's games, let's talk about what happened last night. And that is the Los Angeles Lakers getting eliminated right out of the playoffs, along with the Pelicans. Thunder took care of business there, but all eyes are on Denver as they beat the Lakers 108-106. And it's an interesting series in the sense that not just the fact that the Lakers lost 4-1, but 2 of their losses came right down to the buzzer. And, of course, LeBron did not address the big issue, the elephant in the room, which is his future. But more important, the fact that Denver showed that, again, why they are so tough when they're in crunch time moments, they just find ways to win games.
You know, and they looked awful winning that series. If I can, you know, just kind of editorialize a little bit, I thought it was one of the worst playoff series that I've seen them play, including some, you know, that I've seen them lose. They just didn't feel like they had it together. And then end of games, they do the thing that they do. You know, Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic two-man game down the stretch is basically unstoppable. There's nothing you can do. Pick your poison. Either Nikola Jokic is putting you under the basket and scoring, or Jamal Murray is going to just absolutely dot Anthony Davis's eye. Like, he has his shot contest time to the point where you have to find a way to keep Anthony Davis off of them, I think, in crunch time. And again, the Lakers looked really good. I thought they played a little bit even over their own heads, mm-hmm. leading this series for like 70-75% of the minutes played, and to come out and lose 4-1, I mean, that's just got to be a backbreaker. But the truth is, they, you know, the Lakers just don't have the primetime players, the guys that can help them out. Anthony Davis is not a closer. He's a great starter to a game, but he fades down the stretch. LeBron, I think, was incredible in every single game, which is just amazing to continue to be able to say. But the Nuggets, on their worst days, and I think that they had five of their worst days that they're going to have in this playoffs, in those five games, they still managed to come out 4-1. I think the Nuggets are, I don't know, man. I do think their next series is for the championship. I mean, this series they have coming up against Timberwolves, that's for the title. And I hope they haven't been looking ahead the whole time because, you know, I thought that they were slipping a little bit. And this has now been a few weeks for me watching them. You know, that big game that they lost to the Spurs that cost them the one seed, I put a pin in that. And I'm planning to go back to it if things start to look rough for them against Minnesota.
Dave, can you just set the stage for the Minnesota series? Because you just alluded to it. I think our listeners really need to understand how big of a series this will be, kind of for the handing of the torch for the next era of the NBA. I mean, you have best player in the world right now in Jokic going up against maybe the next face of USA basketball and Anthony Edwards. Could you just set the stage for this matchup, this series?
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that Anthony Edwards is the face of the future of American basketball. You know, and I don't like to be a guy who differentiates the NBA players between Americans and foreign guys, but the NBA does it, so I might as well. Anthony Edwards is that dude. I do think that there is a little bit of the, you know, Jokic is the guy now. Anthony Edwards is trying to be the guy next. And that is a series subplot. But the bigger one is we have the defending champion Nuggets, and they're not as deep as the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are kind of the fresh new guys on the scene. I think that that is an underreported aspect of what this series is going to be. The Nuggets have five guys that they truly trust. That's an issue when you go up against a deep young team like the Timberwolves. I think Gobert is going to be fascinating in this series. If he can guard Jokic to the, you know, if he can hold him to 27, 10 and 10 instead of 40, 12 and 20, you know, and do that job. I do think that Anthony Edwards and Jaden McDaniels as your defenders guarding guys like, you know, Jamal Murray, of course, but Michael Porter Jr., I think that they can handle those guys on paper. And this is just on paper because you got to play the games, and Nikola Jokic might be the biggest killer in basketball. I mean, he is going to win his third MVP in 4 years, and it should be 4-4 for a reason. But on paper, man, the Minnesota Timberwolves look like they're built to take down a team like the Nuggets.
Dave DeFore joining us as we continue here on Sports Talk, and I'm happy we're talking about the Wolves and just how impressive they are, because truth of the matter is, you know, the exclamation point on sweeping the Suns, everybody's going to look at that dunk, that Jordan-esque slam right in KD's face. And, you know, there's been a lot of comparisons between Edwards and Jordan. And one of the things I've been bringing up, Dave, is that Edwards' shooting game, his perimeter game, reminds me a lot of Jordan kind of past the midway point of his career when he stopped. He didn't say stopped, but he didn't drive to the hole with as much frequency as he did when he was younger and instead just became one of the best shooters in the game, to complement the times when he would attack the basket or dunk the ball, which he could still do. I look at Edwards and I say, wow, he's got the game. He already has the polished shooting game now, and we've also seen what he can do when he wants to elevate and jam at home. It is fun to watch, but I do believe that for people that were old enough to watch Michael Jordan in his younger years, that was a man who attacked the basket, hung in the air forever, and just, you know, had that fearless style early on when he was making a name for himself in the game.
I would argue Anthony Edwards looks like young Jordan from the middle of the third quarter to the end of the game, way more than he does for the first 2.5 quarters of the game. When the game gets into crunch time, or when it gets close and it's late, I mean, and I'll go just right back to game 4 the other day, middle of the third quarter, Anthony Edwards just says, you know what, no one on this team can guard me. Let's just put this away.
Yeah.
And he has this big drive. You probably remember it because it was a missed two-hand dunk. He drove on a set defense and missed a two-hand dunk in traffic and then came back down on the other end, got a big block, hit a couple of threes, got another drive and dunk, and then it was just a parade of him going to the rack. And I think that this is the thing about – this is more of like what Michael Jordan might have looked like in a modern setting if he came up now. Because the NBA is an outside-in game versus an inside-out game. You know, Jordan's drive game set up a lot of that mid-range that he eventually fell into.
Right.
And for Anthony Edwards, this guy, if you go look at his numbers, if anyone's sitting in a computer, go look at what his three-point make pace is. He's going to potentially pass Steph Curry at some point for career-made three-pointers, you know, if he plays long enough. That's just the volume of threes that this guy puts up. And so when you do that and it gets late and then the other guys are tired and they can't stay in front of you, now all of a sudden he can hit that other level. And you kind of nailed it. That Jordan-esque dunk, that was a signature moment. That was like Anthony Edwards saying, oh, yeah, I'm here and this is over. And, I love that so much. I jumped up off my couch watching the game, and I never do that.
I haven't seen the image yet, but I'm hoping they create a poster of it and kids start putting it on their walls the way they did with Jordan's dunk contest, which my 11-year-old still has in his room right now on his wall.
Yeah, I mean – you know, it's funny because I don't think we do enough physical media. And I mean, I don't want to get into modern society and all the stuff that's wrong with it. But if ever a team was going to do something, you know, they're going to be hosting the Nuggets, right? Like, so, they're going to be hosting the Nuggets games 3 and 4. I would have posters for all the fans of that dunk sitting in the seat by the time you host a home game. I just think that this is an opportunity for the Timberwolves as an organization to even get behind Anthony Edwards and push this sort of, hey, this is the guy that's not just there for some passing of the torch, he's trying to take it. And I think that this is why we love Anthony Edwards so much. And part of why I loved him even coming in as a rookie. You know, the media is really funny because they are going to play like your friend and they want you to give them information. If you're a player, but they also are going to hit you with some stuff to try to make you look bad, especially when you're young and you haven't figured it out. And do you remember when they asked him about not loving basketball? And he talked about football being his favorite sport. And he said it proudly. He was like, yeah, football is my favorite sport. That's the kind of guy I like, man. He is his own man. And we see that every single night he steps on the basketball court. He's such an easy guy to root for. And it's a nice change, I think, for the league.
Speaking of another series sweep, Dave, talking about Oklahoma City, yesterday you saw Chet Holmgren, and for our listeners who haven't really watched him, they might say, like, hey, is this the pickup guy who kind of gets picked on, made fun of by the other team, and, you know, he ends up getting a dunk on or all that kind of stuff? Well, if you watch him, yeah, that might happen. He might make his mistakes in the game, but then he gets right back after it. He's just an impressive guy that has, like, a short-term memory when he plays. The only knock I'll have on him is I can't stand the commercial with him and Shea. Like, they play it way too often, man.
Oh, listen, now that's one of the worst commercials ever made. But let's be honest. If you're watching NBA basketball right now, if I can make an aside, you are being absolutely harassed by the low level of music. and the commercials. I mean, this is just absurd. I mean, I say this as a guy who watches too much basketball, and so I'm subjected to all of this stuff all year long. But, man, it feels like they have taken it up to a playoff level of trying to drive me crazy with the music and these commercials. They're awful. And it's only the same three on a loop. I do not understand it. But Chet Holmgren, the thing about him that just makes him such a dog is that not only is he a crazy athlete, because he is. I mean, this guy's 7 feet tall. He runs pretty fast. He's got a pretty good handle, got a pretty good jump shot, block shot like crazy. But he never quits on any play. You look at the series with the New Orleans Pelicans, and I think from game one to four, you watch Chet Holmgren grow about 2 years worth of basketball experience. Game one, Jonas Valanciunas was working him. I mean, grown man game. Let me give you everything I got. Jonas had 13 points and 20 rebounds. And, yeah, Chet had 5 blocks in that game because he never quit. Well, by game three, Chet was stonewalling Jonas Valanciunas on post-ups. They couldn't play Valanciunas. Valanciunas getting played off the court by Chet Holmgren. And a lot of it is conditioning, motor, and the guy wants to be great at defense. His offensive game is all about letting everything come to him. If you listen to him talk, he does kind of sound a little bit nerdy. He sounds like a guy who's going to be in a front office when he retires because he talks about optimizing shots and making the right choices and being efficient. He plays that way. So he doesn't just talk the talk. He actually can walk the walk. I think when you've got high IQ and high motor, and with those physical skills that he has, it's almost impossible to fail. But, man, I've been incredibly impressed. I hope he never gains a single pound. He has been awesome.
Dave DeFore joining us here on Sports Talk from The Athletic. We have 3 Eastern Conference playoff games tonight. 2 of them are elimination games. Cavs and Magic are tied at 2 apiece going into their game 5 tonight in Cleveland. The Knicks can knock out the Sixers for the first time in 25 years on their home floor. That's how long it's been since the Knicks have won an elimination game at the Garden. And then the Bucks have to win at home to force a game 6. They're down 3-1 to the Pacers without Giannis. What's going to happen tonight?
I mean, I think the Knicks and the Pacers close it out. The Pacers have to close it out. They just have to. You can't let it get to a game 6 and potentially have Giannis and Damian Lillard available. And I don't know that they would be, but you can't risk that if you're the Pacers. You're not good enough. The Knicks, if they drop game 5, they can win game 6. They can win a game 7. I'm not as worried about the Knicks, but I do think that if you're the Knicks, you want to close this out. You just lost Bojan Bogdanović. He's done for the rest of the playoffs. Mitchell Robinson is banged up. You know, Hartenstein has been taking a pounding from Joel Embiid. You're going to want time off so these guys can rest up. Pacers probably do too, but I think the Pacers just, they're coming into the series. I picked the Pacers to win the series, thinking Giannis might not make the series, but Dame would. But I actually have been so unimpressed with the Pacers in this series that if Damian Lillard had been healthy, I think the Bucks probably win. And I just don't know what to think about this Pacers team. The disinterest in playing any sort of defense and really just kind of throw up some garbage very often on offense. It's confusing. And then Rick Carlisle nearly cost them one of these games by repeatedly not fouling when up 3. Which I appreciate as a guy watching at home because I love seeing Chris Middleton hit crazy 3-pointers, you know, at the end of regulation, at the end of the first overtime. But that's not good basketball. So the Pacers have been really confusing. And so if you're the Knicks, you know, you want to knock this one out, get some rest, go ahead and be ready to sweep the Pacers because you're going to be playing the Boston Celtics and that's going to be a battle. So I think the Knicks close it out tonight. I think the Magic are going to get this thing. I just trust what they're doing. Darius Garland has had a kind of a bad season, having a rough playoff. Evan Mobley has not been very good at all in this series. And I think the Orlando Magic have kind of figured some things out offensively, which has been their big problem so far. So I think the Magic are going to win this one. I think the Magic can pull it out in 7, maybe 6 if things really work out in their favor. But, man, the Pacers need to win this one. If they don't, it's going to be scary for them.
You have no idea, as a longtime Knicks fan, how excited I am about this group because unlike the Ewing teams and the Carmelo teams and all the Knick teams in the past, this one seems to be a team where, yes, you're relying on one great player in Jalen Brunson, but that supporting cast has fit perfectly. They all, it's almost like they built a puzzle together, Dave, and the puzzle pieces fit, and they're all clicking at the perfect time, and there is no better player to beat than Joel Embiid and the hated Philadelphia 76ers.
You know, they're like a college team in a lot of ways, and it's funny because so many of those guys went to Villanova together. You know, they have college vibes. It's a perfect Tom Thibodeau team, and think about how endeared to Tom Thibodeau this team has been. You know, I just think that there's such a – it's a very good story. And when they made the OG Anunoby trade, I said that they were Eastern Conference Finals bound. And you get to the Eastern Conference Finals, you've got a chance at making the finals. And, you know, Kristaps Porzingis is going to be out potentially for this next series for Boston, and who knows how long, right? So he's got the same injury that Giannis has had that's kept him out the last few weeks. So you never know what's going to happen this time of year. I think I'm not alone in saying I don't completely trust the Celtics when things get tough. And we haven't seen it yet from the Knicks, but I've seen them pull out tough game after tough game after tough game all year long, including these four games against Philly, where they've been a little bit outmatched because of how big Embiid is. So, I'm not saying that this is a season where the Knicks have just kind of hit all the right notes and everything's going to work out and they're going to make the finals and maybe win. But if they did, it fits the story.
Let's talk about what you've got up with all the podcasts and all the work you're doing at The Athletic right now.
You know, it's playoff time, which means we're in complete playoff mode. So we've got our Monday through Friday shows. We're doing them all. We're going to have Nerder tonight. We're doing a post game. So we're going to go right after all these games are done, hit a little post game. And then we've got some big picture stuff we're going to talk about. But, you know, we're trying to be as fast and flexible as we can with this stuff. So more post-game shows during the playoffs, but keeping our normal schedule Monday through Friday over at The Athletic, The Athletic NBA show. You know, we keep getting bigger, but I think that we keep getting better.
I'd agree with that. Dave, great having you back. We love it. We appreciate it. And look forward to continuing to talk with you here through the playoffs.
Appreciate you guys. Talk to you soon.
Dave DeFore, folks, he joins us again from The Athletic. You can follow Dave on Twitter and X at Dave DeFore NBA, at Dave DeFore NBA. More in a moment as we continue 600 ESPN El Paso. Up with UTEP Miners. What are you hearing right now?
Well, I'm seeing just a ton of people hit the portal, right? I mean, we heard this on air, off air. We talked about this yesterday, too. I mean, you know, this is as a result of exit meetings that happened, last week after the UTEP football spring game. So now a lot of the Miners, or some of the Miners, are hitting the portal. Initially, we were told that it's not necessarily going to be difference makers. So I would say that, I mean, maybe it's future pieces, though. I mean, maybe they're not difference makers today here in 2024, but maybe in the future they could have been difference makers.
So I'm looking, and I guess it just depends on which website you go after. We knew about Jake McNamara. We've known about some of the others, but I'm looking just at what I see here, and there's just in the last couple of days, you've got Stephon Cameron, the cornerback. You've got Dimitri Madden, the defensive lineman.
Good player. Yep. Very good player right there.
Seth Mauser is another one who is also in the portal now, and you just wonder who else will be there when the portal just continues to fill up. Who else are you seeing for recent names?
Yeah, recent name who hit today was safety Davis Burns. This is a guy who played, over 20 games throughout his career, albeit he played a lot of special teams. He didn't necessarily play a lot at his true safety position, but he was the backup, and he did play a lot. He played snaps on defense at the safety position for UTEP in previous seasons, so that's a bit of also a Coronado product, so somebody who came out of El Paso.
As all of you understand, given what's happening with the portal and the team, and just being fair, I'm not going to ask Cade to comment on this. It puts him in a very awkward situation. So for those of you wondering what Cade McConnell is thinking about this, That's not something we're going to get into on this program. Cade's given us plenty of information about what it's like being at UTEP, but I'm definitely not looking to get that on the show and get thoughts on some of those players that have been teammates with him the last couple of years that are going into the transfer portal. I will say this, Adrian, this is one of those things that happens with a coaching change. Unfortunately, you know, new coaching staffs will give returning players a shot. They'll want to see them. They'll want to evaluate them. And sometimes they'll decide, for whatever reason, they're not in the plans. And it's a tough decision because sometimes you're dealing with starters, you're dealing with popular players, but it happens all around college athletics. And for UTEP, it's going to be happening here over the next few weeks.
It seems like the roster's pretty fluid, too. I mean, that's an honest assessment I could say as an outsider, that the roster is fluid to the point where they're offering guys who say, hey, I've received an offer from UTEP. I'm a graduate transfer. Yep. I've hit the transfer portal myself. Remember, they just got Corey Wren from TCU, the running back, just last week. So they're still getting these guys who they hope who could be immediate transfers. And then on top of that, also some guys who are stragglers out of the class of 2024. Maybe some seniors who still are looking for landing spots.
You're right. All right, we'll talk more about that later in the show. In the meantime, we've got Michael Levy from UTEP coming up next. Orange Fever Fiesta is this weekend. He'll give us the latest. The sports talk continues. 600 ESPN El Paso. All right, we're going to get right to it. We're going to talk a little UTEP right now with Michael Levy. Brand new, he came on board a few months ago, Deputy Athletic Director for Revenue Generation. That's code for he has been hired to raise money. That's exactly what it is.
Correct.
Michael, welcome to the show, and great to have you here. I've heard a lot of great things about you, and now we get a chance to meet face-to-face for the first time. How are you?
I'm awesome, Steve. Adrian, great to have you. Thank you for having me. Cade, good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you again.
I love it. So you tell me, somebody that played at TCU, you worked at TCU, you've been to South Florida, you've been to Wyoming, now you're here at UTEP. You know Texas.
Yeah.
How well did you know El Paso before you came here in February?
So I came on my interview earlier this year. Before that, my last time in the Sun City was the 1998 Sun Bowl. For those historians here, at that point, TCU was an up-and-coming program, and LaDainian Tomlinson, the Horned Frogs, took down Carson Palmer and the USC Trojans,
yep.
Which kind of resurrected their program. So I have fond memories of El Paso from my first experience.
So you came to that game just to watch TCU at that
point. I grew up in Fort Worth, and so was a fan, and then obviously went to school there. But had in TCU and El Paso have been connected for a while. I feel like there's a lot of people that have sent their children to TCU and have always had friends here, but never really experienced it. And it's exceeded my expectations for sure.
LaDainian Tomlinson should move to El Paso because he made a career out of UTEP during his career. And then he goes and does what he did against USC in the Sun Bowl. So for the most part, I think that he should essentially have a place to live here because he made a name for himself at that time against the Miners.
I wasn't going to bring up the 405 yards he had in 99, I think it was, but that's okay.
Adrian, was it most ever by...
Yes,
by
a single game. In a single game. Broke the single game record. And he broke the all-time record at the time, like the rushing record, like for a career, against UTEP. So it was like both. Like he just killed UTEP. He would have a street named after him here in El Paso.
And the truth is look, he became one of the best running backs in the history of the game.
No doubt.
He was terrific for such a long period of time. So my attitude is, if you're going to get shredded by somebody, at least make sure that they go on to have a long pro career like LaDainian Tomlinson had.
Fair enough, yeah.
So, all right, so here you are. You're back. You have the opportunity now to work for Revenue Generation, and I'm sure you've been busy meeting a lot of people around this community, Miner fans, business owners, supporters of the program, and just trying to get get as much done as you possibly can to help bring some of those donors to the table.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, what I do is I'm in the relationship business, and so getting out and meeting people that in the community that have supported for a long time, hearing their story of why they do it and what opportunities they see and what challenges, right? Definitely part of that listening and learning tour. And also spending a lot of time internally with the staff to see where should we chart our course, right? And revenue generation, I feel like, gets added into the
other responsibilities category a lot. We have a lot of different aspects that we're trying to maximize our opportunities with. Clearly, the Minor Athletic Club is a main focus, and we'll talk about Orange Fever Fiesta here in a bit. Facility campaigns. We're about to embark on a larger renovation of some of our facilities facing our student athletes, locker room, hopefully some other human performance stuff, depending on donor appetite. And then really now, name, image, and likeness, NIL opportunities. And every day it goes on, the university can have a larger hand in that, which I see as a positive because we're the ones that are educating our student athletes, mentoring our student athletes, and being able to kind of guide them through this maze that is the world of NIL is a huge, huge benefit. So we're going to lean into that pretty heavily.
As a former student athlete, do you see things maybe a little different than others in your spot just because you've been there before and you can kind of relate to the student athletes as you now are the associate AD?
Sure. Time commitments were the first thing that comes to mind. I was a preferred walk-on golfer sitting here next to Mr. McConnell. Little different level of athleticism, but the time you have to commit not only in your team-assigned hours, if you want to be great, is a full-time deal. And the reality is, I mean, we all know how expensive it is just to live your life this day and age. If you don't have the ability to bring any income in, it's going to be really tough. I mean, we provide a lot of great things, but in terms of being able to go out and earn money and prepare for life after school, NIL is a really, really great positive in that sense.
Michael Levy joining us here on Sports Talk as we continue. Now, you mentioned facility improvements. I'm sure you might not be at liberty yet to mention some of those, but we've heard rumblings about the locker rooms, and we've heard some of the talk that with the Durham Center getting fixed up again in other places. So that's good news because I'm sure there's a list, and it's a long list of things that need to get done.
For sure. I think, you know, when you evaluate what are your wants versus what are your needs, we know just in the reality of where we're at in terms of providing revenue for all of our sports, the more that we can get football up to the caliber that we all a proud program we'd be proud of, there are certain aspects that we need to provide for that. And so it's no secret we've actually started construction on a locker room portion of it, and they're moving dirt as we speak. But that'll be a donor-funded project. And it just depends on how quickly we can get done with that. We have plans to do more that would touch, you know, more of our sports programs from a larger human performance standpoint. So I like to bet on ourselves. I think you'll be hearing some announcements here soon.
The locker rooms you're mentioning, are we talking about the locker rooms in the Durham Center, or are we talking about the locker rooms in the dungeon that is the south entrance to the Sun Bowl?
Specifically the Durham Center.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hope to God one of these days you guys are able to take care of the locker rooms inside the Sun Bowl Stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, really do.
Hey, the bones of the Sun Bowl are gorgeous, right? We just need a little TLC. Yeah.
A little TLC. I like that.
We're living in those ones right now. You know, that's not a secret either. We're using while we're getting a brand new locker room, and I can tell you that everybody on the team is so excited about that. And while at the end of spring ball and right now, you know, we have to walk from the south side of the Sun Bowl to the other side back to the Durham Center and then back, it's a longer walk across. But we're all willing to do that right now because we know we've seen the mock-ups of the locker room, and I can tell you how many people are really excited about it. So, yes, we are living in the ancient ruins over there of the old locker room, but it's going to be worth it when that thing is done.
It should make you feel good that when the 88 team was here and winning games, they were in the exact same locker room that hasn't changed at all from when you were there. You should feel good about that.
There is a little bit of nostalgia to it, and I'm not even joking. I'm not even saying that, you know, just to sound nice about the locker room. There is a little bit of, like, you know, nostalgic, you know, aura about it of like, hey, this has been here for a long time. There's a lot of history in these lockers, and there's been a lot of guys probably that are in the locker that I have in there right now that were great. So I can take that at its value for sure.
All right.
It's a good perspective.
Tell us about the biggest night of the year this Saturday. It's going to be at Centennial Plaza at UTEP for the Orange Fever Fiesta. I know it's presented by Madrid Law Firm. You got a lot of good sponsors. You got dinner, drinks, silent auction, live auction. It's all about supporting UTEP athletics.
Yeah, I'm fired up. Obviously, this is my first one, and this is our biggest single day fundraiser for the athletics department. So it's a all hands on deck opportunity. Clearly there's been a group of people that have sponsored this year in, year out, bought tables year in, year out. And it's really a way for us, it kind of as at the end of our event calendar, so to speak, from you know, also a sporting event, even though we still have some teams competing in the postseason.
Yep.
It kind of celebrates all that was accomplished and all that we're looking forward to. And so there's some unique stuff of Genevieve Gomez on our team. She always is trying to provide a different flavor to this event. And heck, Steve, you're a Swiftie, right?
I saw the Taylor Swift. You've got the signed guitar.
I mean,
that is a huge item right there. How'd you pull that off?
I don't give away trade secrets.
No, I don't. I wouldn't do that either. You've only been on the first show for the first time. Right. We're not that comfortable yet with you, Michael. Right. I don't blame you. That's good. But that is one of the online auction items that is up right now.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of experiences. Clearly, we have we're playing in two of the cathedrals of college football this year in Lincoln, Nebraska, and in Knoxville, Tennessee. So opportunities to come watch our miners there and also kick off the Scotty Walden era. A lot of, you know, gear has been is the hot topic. And for those that follow it, the miners on any social media platform saw that we had a pretty large gear sale.
Garage sale.
Yeah. And so you're going to see some of that continued on into this. But we also have some new Adidas items and some retro stuff. It seems like those 80s jerseys that I'm looking at this poster here are pretty popular. So,
oh, yeah.
They were. They are.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. We're rolling that back, right? Yeah. We're running it back.
Oh, yeah, we are. Yeah, those things are way too clean to put away. Those have got to stay out.
Love it.
Michael, I want to ask you particularly about, you know, you have all your donor or these donors who come out, and they've come out year in and year out, and they always come out from this because we talk to a lot of these same guys. They come out from this with like a nugget or like something new that's happening at UTEP. Are you excited to unveil like some of the new things for the upcoming year? I always hear you alluded to the gear and, you know, some of the Adidas stuff, but I always look forward to hearing some of those tidbits and nuggets from some of the people who go.
Yeah, Adrian, that's a really good point, and clearly it's a great platform for us to kind of market what is to come and to keep people interested. And so, yes, we've been rolling out some new initiatives and working behind the scenes, and so we will definitely reference some of that on Saturday and hopefully get people bought in, because we're going to be definitely hitting the streets hard trying to gain support as we start next athletic season.
You can actually go online, minorathleticclub.com, and buy tickets. A single ticket for Saturday is $150, but you can get a table for 10. You can get an 8-guest table. You can get a 4-ticket bundle. There's a lot of flexibility on the website to purchase tickets for Saturday if you have not done so already.
Absolutely, and we hope you can join us in person, but understanding, you know, the times are busy, and I know there's probably already conflicts going on this weekend for others. You can go online right now and participate in the auction.
Yep.
So yeah, so we went live yesterday and already had some good traction on items, and so that's the beauty of modern technology is you can participate even from afar.
I see you also have live music. Jessica Flores is going to be performing, and you have a casino area that's going to be out at Minor Fever Fiesta.
Yeah, we're really excited about that. It should fit perfectly from what I understand, the kind of vibe in the evening, and that's going to be a great way to kind of set the tone for hopefully it's going to be a fun, interactive evening where we all just celebrate Minor Athletics and look forward to giving back.
Also, you've added a new NIL, the Gold Mine. That is the second collective for NIL to go along with the first collective, which has done pretty well too. I think that's called the minor collective, correct?
Yeah, exactly right. Yep.
Go ahead. And the nice thing about the Gold Mine is you can give to every sport. There is not you actually can find like take a specific amount of money, a specific sport, and put it right into that bucket.
Exactly right. The Minor Collective has been organized for a few years supporting men's basketball, and they've done a heck of a job. And so we knew coming in, how do we find that same level of support for all of our other programs? And it's we're kind of in that middle ground where we can't just say, hey, we're going to start raising money for people's NIL because we still have an arm's length distance. But we have a great relationship with a couple donors that approached us about getting this started. And so we've been very helpful in providing them some guidance on that. And as of the day before the spring game, the Goldmine Collective launched, and it was launched with a $50,000 match from a group of donors. And proud to announce that in 5 days, we raised $75,000 from that platform. So hit the match. And so we're well on our way to supporting, you know, that was a football specific match, but people have come in and given gifts to other sports programs. And that'll be something that as people get more comfortable doing it, it'll become social, it'll become the norm. And so I think the difference, what you alluded to, Steve, I think when people think about giving back and they see headlines of $1 million NIL deals and all these crazy numbers, and they're thinking, heck, why would my $100 matter? Well, it's all scalable. And the more that we can grow the base, and the gold mine even allows people to give back as little as $5 a month if you wanted to, that really makes a difference, you know, if you got a larger group of people doing that. And so our goal is just to educate, right? That's what we're supposed to be doing, is educating our donors and our fan base on the importance of that. Clearly, there's the aspect of helping the student athlete, you know, financially. And then, you know, before I came on, I was hearing the conversation about the portal. I mean, that's just the reality of where we're at, right? Retaining, taking care of our locker room is really the priority, right? First and foremost, the guys that are here, the guys that have committed to it. And then looking in the future, when people are making decisions about where to come to school, right? That's realistically, that's going to be a consideration of theirs. So we're just trying to give all of our sports programs the resources to be successful.
If people want to get more involved in Minor Athletic Club and look into tickets for Orange Fever Fiesta, do you just recommend going to the website and go to minorathleticclub.com because everything you need is there?
Exactly right. Yep.
Okay. That's good. And you can link to the gold mine from the Minor Athletic Club's website?
So if you go to utepminors.com on the main front page, we have an NIL button. It's like right next to schedule and tickets and right there up top.
There it is.
And you can go to both the Minor Collectives site or the Gold Mine Collectives site and get more information. And we actually hired a familiar face, Aaron Price, just joined the Minor Athletic Club team. And his role is NIL strategy and sport excellence. And so he is a great resource. If there's questions coming up about, hey, what does this mean? He can make introductions to people at the collectives that can help facilitate a contribution.
Excellent. So between the Minor Collective, the Gold Mine Collective, you got a lot going on, and then the Minor Athletic Club, a lot happening. By the way, last night was the big student award night, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Golden Pick Awards.
That's right. Was that your first time to attend those?
Yeah, it was a busy day because we also had the Minor Masters, our men's golf benefit tournament out at El Paso Country Club. So we were kind of splitting time. But yeah, that's a first class event, and obviously something that the student athletes buy into, and that's why we're doing it, right? As soon as they're bored with it, we'll probably find something else to do. But they seem to really really enjoy it and get behind it.
You get to play golf at the Minor Masters, or were you busy entertaining? How'd it work for you?
I was entertaining this time, but I think I'll be playing next year.
What's your handicap? What are we talking about here, Michael?
I'm still a zero, unfortunately.
Wow. That's unfortunate. That's unfortunate. I mean, that's good for you.
Yeah.
Cade, that means he's got a great golf game.
Oh, my gosh. You're a scratch golfer?
I mean, you know, the handicap system doesn't allow you to take off all these good scores after a while. So I'll go pump in some bad ones, maybe raise it up a little bit.
No, don't do that. He's a ringer. We've got a ringer.
Partner. I need a scramble partner.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Michael, you could be playing a lot of golf for people around town now that you've let everybody know you're a scratch golfer.
My DMs are open, as they say.
That's right. As long as they're open to Cade McConnell, we're good, too.
Yeah. There you go. Hey, come back and see us. Thanks for stopping in. It's great to meet you, and looking forward to having you on as you have more initiatives to talk about here on the show.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Adrian. Cade?
Good job.
Pleasure.
Michael Levy, folks, joining us from UTEP. We'll come back more in a moment as we keep you through till 6:30. But first, let's go to Charlie One with this traffic update. 6009, that is our telephone number as we continue. 505-6009. Get you right on in and through to the show. My thanks again to Michael for joining us. My thanks also to Mel from the pizza joint. She showed up today, and oh my God, we had a she brought a 20-inch, she brought a 16-inch. The Jeremy was here, the wings were here, a super large pepperoni arrived this afternoon, and or actually late this morning. Adrian, that pizza and those wings were so good. I can't wait for dining deals this Friday when our listeners are going to get a chance to enjoy $50 to the pizza joint for just $25.
Yeah, I'm doing it right now, Steve. I'm setting the alarm for Friday. I'm setting the calendar because I'm going to forget, and this is going to sell out right away because everybody loves pizza joint, and it's one of those spots that when you've got a good deal there, you take advantage of it. $25 for $50 at pizza joint goes a long way. They had the Jeffrey today, Steve, and I was telling you, like, you were the one who came in and said, hey, we got the Jeffrey here, ready to go, and I was excited. I went over there. There was one slice left. Didn't want to be the guy. Had the Jeffrey plenty of times, so didn't want to be the guy to take the last slice of the Jeffrey, so I had to get two pepperoni instead.
Well, first off, if you got two pepperoni, that was the 20-inch pepperonis that you took. So those are enormous slices you grabbed.
I grabbed the big slices. I loved them. And that was my lunch. I haven't eaten since. So that was excellent. And I'll never pass up a pizza joint offer.
I cannot believe you guys are talking about this right now. My stomach is eating itself, and you guys are talking about pizza and wings. Wings is like on the top of my list, probably one of my, if not my favorite food. And I'm hearing about this, and it's torture.
Oh, you should have seen the wings they brought today.
Steve.
Adrian, what is the flavor that you love?
Pete's Gold.
Oh, my God.
Can we describe that flavor a little
bit? Pete's Gold is like buffalo mixed with almost like Chipotle. It's like as weird as that's... No, that's a bad description. You just got to try it. Just go to any pizza joint location, the one downtown, the one by UTEP, the one off Westwind, and just grab the Pete's Gold wings.
All right, I'll have to do it.
Well, you got to do it. I mean, Pete's Gold was amazing. The food was great today. Everybody loved it. We just had a great time. And but listen, the truth is, I order from there a lot anyway. I mean, it's right by the house. So for the most part, I'm probably at Pizza Joint once every week or two. So yeah, this is a great deal. Can't wait. I'm like you. I'm taking advantage of this. I know how much money I spend there on a regular basis. You don't think I would want to enjoy $50 at the Pizza Joint for $25? That would be fantastic.
Yeah, the app always reminds me how much I spend. So, yeah, I love it, Steve. I love Pizza Joint, and I'm definitely dining in for this one.
All right. There it is. Sorry, Cade. This time we go.
I know.
It hurts right now. I don't blame you.
It hurts.
It hurts me to think about it, too. It really does. Bottom of the hour as we continue. More in a moment. But first, let's hit it back right now. Adrian's standing by. He's got a SportsCenter update for us. As we keep things moving here on the show. You're right there? Your stomach bothering you?
Oh, my God. We don't invite the interns around anymore. You know, I'm just an intern.
It's true.
Sweeping.
No invites.
You know what's sad? Cade had a good little run there for a few weeks in a row.
Yes.
He was making every single lunch trip we had with us and getting in on the whole dining deals thing. And, you know, now.
Did I say something? Did I do something?
We haven't seen you as much recently. Let's be honest. He's been busy with spring ball. He got kind of sidetracked with that, and you know we haven't really seen a lot of him, Adrian. It's like you know for those weeks when he was going to those dining deals, he was here at the station all the time. Now you know it's not as frequent as it used to be.
No, this is on us, Steve. I'm not putting any of the accountability on Cade. This is like the friend that you have that you invite weekly for basketball. If you forget one week, it's on you.
It's on you.
It's not on the person because Cade has always told us, hey, I can't make today or whatever.
Yep.
And that's fine. You know, we're always accommodating with his schedule. I did not send out the invites these past couple weeks.
Cade even invited himself to hang with us at the house one week. He's like, hey, I got Saturday free. If you guys need anything, let me know. Like he was ready to just jump in and you know hang out. And next thing you know, he'd be playing with Joel.
There you go.
That's right. See, you listen. I'll this is a two-way street. I understand that I've been busy with spring ball, you know, meetings, whatever it may be, things have popped up which have not allowed me to be in the studio as much as I would like to be.
Yes.
However, and I've had to decline going out to food a couple of times at certain places with just busy day schedules. But like I said, we're getting some more free time now. This is like this week and next week are really the last busy weeks of classes. I mean, it's good. Things are opening up. So we're all good, Adrian. Everything's good over here. All right. No hard feelings. We're going to be fine.
You will be okay here for much of the summer, right?
Yes. I'm only going to be gone from the 13th to the 31st. So
a
couple weeks in May. I'll get to celebrate my birthday during that time back at home. And then I'll be coming back here and enjoying spring ball and getting after it in the weight room and conditioning for the summertime.
Good, which means, I'll tell you what, we will make sure we start getting you back to places to go dine with us. How's that?
Nice. I love it. See, this is the greatest internship ever. I really have no complaints. I'm just giving you a hard time.
Well, we are giving it back to you, too, so that's okay. That's what it should be. But you know what? Cade has never passed up a good meal. I'll say
very
that.
Very true.
He's always like, hey, guys, you know, what about the intern here? Makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. Exactly. Hey, he gets to try some new spots in town, gets a little meal on us. There you go.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll work on a couple of things for you, see what kind of damage you can do, all right?
I love it. Damage sounds fun.
Yeah, absolutely right. All right, looking at Twitter, Adrian chimed in about a half an hour ago. They're not our Adrian. Adrian on Twitter and X. Adrian M 912-38919. By the way, when you put together all of those numbers after your name, is there anything to, like, I want to know, 912-38919. Do you think there's anything to that? Or is that just when you just decide to take a couple of numbers and start adding more and more and more together just to see if that Twitter and X handle has been taken?
No, I think this is probably a Twitter or X suggestion. So, like, he probably threw his name in there, and they were like, do you like this then? Do you like this one? And he's like, yeah, I'll just go with this one. Whatever.
You think that's what it is?
I think they've done that to, like, if you ever, you know, try to, start a new Twitter or X account, that's what they'll tell you.
Adrian said, there's been a lot of UTEP football players entering the portal. Is anyone covering this? Then he tagged you, 600 ESPN, and UTEP Zay. So he spared me out of this conversation. But nonetheless, Adrian, because Minor Talk had a hashtag, which is your baby, and Zay is all over everything portal-wise and UTEP-wise, he specifically called you guys out, wondering if we are covering the portal transactions.
We are covering the portal transactions. If you listen to the show, we are. We have not written about the portal transactions and what has gone online. I think Zay's cooking something up for that right now, actually. We've been talking off air about it. And, you know, like, I saw Zay comment on it, and I'll just address this as well. He was saying something like, it's not necessarily like the marquee names, okay? So that shouldn't maybe alarm a lot of fans. However, it does not take away for the fact that this is late in the process, late in the spring ball period, where guys are hitting the portal. So these guys are going to be left to scramble and try to find a new destination fast. That's why some people ask, well, Jake McNamara hit the portal and then he committed right away to New Mexico State. How did that happen so fast? Well, I mean, it's not, time is running out for these guys. They've got to have some clarity, some certainty on what their next landing spot's going
to
be.
That is true. And by the way, just to be kind of greedy, I would love to see if Cade and Jake play opposite each other as starters the last game of the season when UTEP plays New Mexico State. That would be a lot of fun for us because I know how close you guys were in the quarterback room together, and getting a chance to go opposite each other in a D1 game, I'm sure that'd be fun for you both as well.
Let me say this. Jake and I, you know, Jake is one of my best friends, if not my best friend here in El Paso. And, you know, you always have your friends from back home that you'll know for life and everything else, and you make a whole new set of friends coming out here. And Jake is right at the top of that list. So, you know, when he decided it was going to be best for him to not be here anymore and go somewhere else, I didn't know where he was going to go when I found out he was going just down the road. As much as I wanted to punch him because I can't stand New Mexico State, there was a part of me that was smiling inside because I know he's number one, not going to be too far away. But number two, I knew that there was that last game on the schedule.
Yep.
So if we get the chance to go against each other, I hope it's an all-timer, and I can't wait to just beat him into the ground.
There you go. That's a good little
love it.
I like the trash talking. That is perfect. Beat him into the ground. I like that. That's
out
good.
Of love, too, because I love that kid to death. But we're competitive in everything we do. I don't care if we go out to the golf course or if we're playing MLB The Show, sitting on the couch. We're competitive as all hell, and you can imagine playing our sport against each other.
Yep. Sounds like Anthony Edwards over here against Kevin Durant.
Ooh, would you like to posterize Jake if you get an opportunity?
I would love to. I would love to. Are Anthony Edwards and Kevin Durant as close of friends as Jake and I, though?
Yes, they are. Okay. It's a little different, though, because it's idol. Like, you know, yeah. Anthony Edwards idolizes Katie.
I see.
Nah. Miner in Wisconsin reacted to this on Twitter and X. Kind of expected some to leave after spring ball, and they had an idea where they were in the depth chart. I expect the staff to recruit to replace. Recruit to replace.
Yeah, it's a good point, and I think that I would think that's a great way of saying it. I think I expected some people to leave. Maybe not this many guys to hit the portal here at this process, but still, it fits the timeline that works for the coaching staff. So that's it. Kind of is what it is. It's going to be what it's going to be there. And I do believe that moving forward, they will recruit these different positions that you might see hit the portal here.
Let me say this, okay? The players that stuck around all had an opportunity to go out and work out for the new coaching staff. And the truth is this, Adrian, even though these players could have gone to the portal earlier, they stuck around and the staff saw them. But you know what? If the staff doesn't think that some of these guys are going to play and be role play or and contribute, then it's almost like they're doing these kids a disservice if they say to them, oh, yeah, stick around. We'll look forward to having you in the fall. And then they work hard in the summer, but they're never giving an opportunity. So as tough as it is to let some of these guys perhaps go in the portal, maybe being honest and telling them, well, we don't really see a role for you is doing them a favor, because a lot of these guys want to play, and they realize that if going into the portal and finding another school to play gives them a better chance, it's better than sticking around here and thinking that they're going to be a part of the team and rotation, and they turn out to not be in that rotation.
Yeah, I think the honesty there, it's a brutal honesty, right? It's not a fun conversation you want to have with anybody if you're a college athlete. Like, I'm trying to put myself into, some of these guys' shoes. But it's an honest assessment right there. If your future is not going to be with this team, if we're accepting of this kind of philosophy for college basketball, it happens all the time. It happens with the previous coaching staff, the current coaching staff. They evaluate all of their roster, and they make decisions on it moving forward on what's the best course for, the team. And if they're going to go ahead and do it, then why can't the other sports do it like that?
And I'll say this, okay? One little note on Dana Dimel. People don't talk about this, but it's true. He did a great job keeping that roster intact. Did not lose a lot of players to the portal the last few years. And considering how much portal movement there's been, you really got to give him credit for being able to keep the nucleus of this team together over those last 3-4 years that he was at UTEP.
Just look at the five guys who were recently from this team who are going to have an opportunity to play in the NFL. That's where the conversation ends right there, like starts and ends. Yep. It's all those guys who stuck around. Tyrese Knight could have played in the SEC, and I'm not just saying that. I mean this, like, with facts. There were teams who wanted him in the SEC if he had hit the portal, and he decided to play out his entire career at UTEP. So, for those guys right there, they were loyal because Dana Dimel was very loyal to them.
When we come back, we're going to get Cade's thoughts on the five guys that are all going to be heading to the NFL. One by one, he'll give us his rundown. When we come back, Sports Talk continues, 600 ESPN El Paso. Six right now as we continue here on Sports Talk, 505-6009. That is our telephone number. Cade McConnell with us right now. Alberto Urueta, the clean-shaven version, didn't even recognize him. But I like it. I like clean-shaven Alberto. Looks younger. What are your thoughts?
He does. Yeah, he does. He looks like he's back at UTEP.
Yeah, he shaved about 5-6 years off of not his mustache, but off his age. That's good. Cade, we talked about it earlier. Your thoughts on the draft. five players are going to be having a chance to play on Sundays. Two drafted, three free agents that were signed. And if you think about Jacob Cowing going also in this draft later in the fourth round, that would be a total of six. So give me your thoughts on, first off, the two guys that did get drafted, Tyrese Knight and Elijah Klein.
Yeah, let's go through them because, I mean, obviously, you know, teammates, guys that I was really close with and were brothers in the locker room with, and to see them succeed like this and to see them get this opportunity is amazing. I mean, everybody knew Tyrese was a special football player, and, you know, as his name's gotten floated around the draft and talking, you know, in the building and things like this, I mean, the phrase that keeps coming out of my mouth is he was the best football player that I've ever played around or played with. I mean, there were so many times last year where we would go up and the offense would be going against the defense and I knew the play was going near Tyrese and I literally looked behind, you know, I'd look behind at Coach Dimmel or whoever else and I'd be like, this isn't going to work, Coach. You know, if it was a screen play, it never worked in front of Tyrese. If there was a run play that was going right there, I hope it cut back to the other side because I didn't want it to be near number 10. And that was the kind of player that he was because he was so smart out on the field mixed with being, you know, physically gifted, and he was just a force to be reckoned with. So I'm so happy that he went. I'm happy he went in the fourth round. You know, that's high enough to make life-changing money that can set yourself up for the future no matter what happens during your rookie contract.
Yes.
But I have no doubt that he's going to do really great things just because I've seen he's a great example of how to take care of yourself over the course of, you know, an entire football career in college. Half of the battle is being healthy and taking care of yourself and doing all the right things in order to make sure you're out on that field. And he did that day in and day out. And that's why he got to play so many games, you know, for this team. And that's why he's going to be able to leave a legacy and he's going to end up on one of our walls. As we move on to Elijah Klein, that's somebody that I'm, you know, maybe some people were surprised that he got drafted. Maybe others weren't. I'm not sure what the public opinion is on that. But I'm not surprised whatsoever because when you see the type of player that he is with the aggression and the physicality, not to mention all the extra work he puts in and how smart he was, he really was the whole package. He was moved around at times. He could play center at times. He was obviously predominantly a guard and he got moved to tackle. He moved across the ball. I mean, that's probably one of the reasons why he was drafted as high as he was instead of maybe getting signed or slipping because he was so versatile and could do so many different things on the line.
Yeah, and he had a great pro day workout too, didn't he?
He did, he did. And speaking of great pro day workouts, I mean, Andrew Meyer, right? I mean, his pro day was like watching a skill player turn into a position player with that size. He had over a 30-inch vertical, ran a sub-5 40-yard dash time. I mean, it was so impressive to watch, and it was really awesome to watch because he trained with our strength coach now, currently at UTEP, Coach Chris Campbell, and while he was training here, you kind of got to see a little bit of the progress because those guys would come out on the field as we were finishing workouts, other things like that. And it was like, oh, wow, like all that work that he just put in, he took it so seriously training for that pro day. He had such a great one that obviously he got the opportunity to go to the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Where he's going to join Gavin Hardison.
That's right. Let's talk about that, too, because they're going to team up together.
Yeah, I mean, that's so cool. Quarterback and center is such a special bond in football. I mean, maybe unless you've played, you know, the sport, and maybe if you, and you know, unless you've played the position, no one really understands that because there's so much communication and there's so much trust that has to go on between center and quarterback. To have them going into minicamp together, I mean, that's huge. I'm so happy for Gavin. I've been talking to him a little bit, and I haven't got a chance to get on the phone with him for longer than just a few minutes, which I'm probably going to do either later tonight or tomorrow. But obviously Gavin and I were super close over the last couple of years being here and whatnot, but I'm so happy he got the chance because, you know, Gavin has all the attributes that they're looking for in the NFL. He has the size, he has the athleticism, and of course we all saw the arm talent that he had. And so I'm happy that he gets to go into a system like Miami that's so diverse and different with Mike McDaniels. And he's going to be able to flourish in that system and learn a lot. I wouldn't be surprised if there's things that come out of minicamp that are surprised of what Gavin Hardison can do, and people that maybe haven't heard the name before are probably going to start.
If Gavin doesn't get hurt, do you think he gets drafted?
I do. I think that if he can go out and show, you know, in his draft year, right, all the things that he's able to do, how he can put the ball down the field in tight windows because of his arm talent. He can still get outside of the pocket and make off-platform throws and show off the things that NFL scouts are looking for to be able to use and to put to use. Yeah, I think that he gets drafted. You know, obviously he got signed by an organization that regards the quarterback very highly, right? You know, we've seen how much success Tua has been able to have, and there's a lot of different pieces in that offense. You have to have a quarterback that's going to be able to operate and put the ball downfield for guys like that. And so obviously they saw something in Gavin. I mean, we saw the so many scouts and so many recruits at the Larry K. Durham Center over the course of the season. The Dolphins were ones that definitely came back and was reoccurring. I didn't know which one was going to, you know, sign or scoop up a lot of these guys because you see so many of them, but clearly they saw something. Thing, and they, you know, they see some potential there.
Wrap it up, Zuri Henry to the Pats.
Zuri, just the thing that comes to mind with Zuri is just a veteran type of guy. Like when he was there, you know, his attitude towards workouts, very veteran. Like when he was out there on the field, it was like, I've been there, I've done this 1,000 times. And he was banged up over the course of a lot of his career, but never let that stop him from being successful. And he's definitely not somebody that's shy to tell you that, right? He's going to be like, no, I always went out there and did my thing. I handled business. And that's why we had the best O-line in the group of five last year.
Great to have you here. It's great to enjoy 2 hours with you. You can come back on Thursday. We'll look forward to seeing you back here again.
Sounds good, Steve. Thank you so much. I'll see you soon.
Cade McConnell, folks, joining us here. We'll see him in a couple of days. Final 30 minutes next. Sports Talk continues. 600 ESPN El Paso.
Here's Steve Kaplowitz and Adrian Broaddus.
Welcome back, everybody. Final hour of Sports Talk underway. You know, that Tim Haggerty, we call it, it's a return, meaning we return from commercials with that. Chad Middleton, who just recently celebrated a birthday, so happy birthday, Chad, was heard that on yesterday's show and said, Haggerty sounds like he has a gun to his head in that promo.
Oh, man. We gotta set the record straight with Tim here in the next segment in our final countdown so he can assure everybody that Sports Talk is his favorite show, or maybe he's had a new favorite show. This was also recorded last year, so a lot could change in a year.
I don't know, man, but do you think he sounds like he's being forced? Let's just play that again and just really listen to it for a second to sound if it does. Let's see if it sounds natural, or let's see if it sounds forced. Here we go.
Hey, this is Tim Haggerty, the Chihuahuas broadcaster. You are listening to my favorite show, Sports Talk, on 600 ESPN El Paso.
I don't know. What do you think Sal would say? Because, you know, Sal is also somebody who knows Tim better than anybody.
He's eating? Yes.
All right. Well, maybe we can get Sal before the game starts and get his thoughts on that. But we've asked Tim about this promo before, and he's always told us that, no, that is genuine. That is not something that, you know, he did just because he was asked or told. That was, you know, that's the real thing. That's Tim Haggerty at his best.
Maybe we should just update it. And so it sounds – maybe we'll speed it up a little bit.
No. I like it the way it is. I think it's good.
You know what? I love how he says favorite show. So the fact that he keeps saying that and I keep hearing it on this radio station, I don't want it to stop. Let's keep it going.
Okay. That's fair. You know what? Look, all I can tell you is, yeah, I like him. I think that it's good. I don't want to change it. I don't want to speed it up. I want to just keep it exactly the way it is. That's the best. I want it to sound completely uncomfortable and awkward. That's my kind of promo. That is. That's my kind of stuff.
We need more of these. Like, we even need some from Alberto over here, or like Buzz and stuff like that, and some of our other personalities too.
See the Knicks come back to take a 44-34 lead?
Yeah, and Brunson's killing it, man. He was 6-9 shooting.
He's got 15 right now. Knicks are outscoring the Sixers 27-8 in the second quarter. How about that?
Yeah, I think this I don't want to call too much against Joel Embiid, but it feels like in the first quarter, he's like the greatest player who walks the earth. And then after that first quarter, he takes a bit of a drop off. Like he almost runs out of steam. Somebody is actually throwing it out there that should Joel Embiid just play second halves of games? And like at one point I was like, no, that's ridiculous. Like everybody in NBA history, no one's ever done this. Like Olajuwon's not doing this back in the 90s. You don't have some of the best big men of all time doing this here in the NBA. But then I watch it, I'm like, wait a second, maybe they're right. Like, he doesn't have any gas in the second half, so maybe he should just be a utility player in that regard.
Maybe so. Oscar at Oscar Jr. 915 gets in on the show. Sounds sleepy. Do you think Tim sounds a little sleepy in that in that promo?
No. He obviously doesn't listen to Tim Haggerty.
Yeah, because that pretty much is Tim, you know?
We've never really...
Chill, laid back.
It's true.
Professional.
Yep, you're right. And it's and when we make him uncomfortable, which does happen on this program, I pride myself on that, folks. That's when Tim pauses a lot, and that's when he sounds a little unsure of himself. And this time, I felt like, no, he was there. It might not have been the most ringing endorsement, but, you know, I mean, it still sounds like he does mean it. It really does. Maybe it doesn't convince everybody, but when we first heard that, we're like, oh, yeah. That's going to be in permanent rotation forever.
So your favorite Tim was like uncomfortable Tim. My favorite version of Tim Haggerty is fiery Tim, or like hot take Tim. Like not even hot take, just him giving a take. Like his story last week where he's talking about the you know, recommendation after lunch and stuff like that. That was out of this world. That was so funny.
Right after story time.
Exactly.
Yeah. See, the hard part is this. I really like Hags the most when he gets fired up. But he hasn't been that fired up in a while. Like, listen, okay, story time is great, okay? It really is. But if you want Tim out of character, Hags' hot takes was, simply put, the best we ever had. That was the best. Because the hot takes were so, like, random and... When he got in on the whole supermarket vegetable stuff and talking about, you know, people like picking at it and all that, yes, and how it drove him nuts. And then, you know, the people in the airport. And I was like, this is what I want. This is the best. This is Tim like we've never heard him before. And we got that for like a limited season. And then he put it to bed. Then he just retired it right out of the gate. He just said, nah, I'm doing something else. I'm doing story time.
He always, whenever I bring this up, he always says, oh, you know, I had one good one for every five. And I was like, no, that's not true.
They were all
bangers. Yeah, they were all great. They were all hits. And, you know, story time is always solid. So this past story time was excellent. So I'm not trying to take away from story time.
Right.
I'm just saying, hot takes gives a different side of Hags that is always fun to hear.
But you know what I want? Like, if we're doing our normal crosstalk in the next 5 or 10 minutes before the game starts, and he's got a hot take, I just want Hags to unload.
Yes.
Like, I don't want him to hold it in, never talk about it. Like, this is the place where if he has something on his mind, he needs to get it off his chest. I mean, this is the forum for it.
I think so. This could be like an outlet for him. Or he could bounce ideas and takes off with us. Like if he's not sure if he needs to say this to the whole world, just the sports talk world, he could bounce it off with us during the final countdown. And we could tell him, hey, you know, we think this is a great take, Tim. You should run with this.
All right. Play the Haggerty liner one more time because I just got a follow-up from Oscar on Twitter and X. And I want to see if he's right.
Hey, this is Tim Haggerty, the Chihuahuas broadcaster. You are listening to my favorite show, Sports Talk, on 600 ESPN El Paso.
Listen, good voice inflection. I mean, he sold it. He didn't sound like he was bored to say it. But Oscar says, sounds a little more chill than usual, uncomfortable Tim. Now, let me tell you, Oscar, you want to know what uncomfortable Tim is? Here is uncomfortable Tim. A few weeks ago, when I told him that I wanted to have a beer with him in his broadcast booth during a game and have him drink a beer with me while he was calling a game. If you ever want uncomfortable Tim, that topic will still, to this day, makes him uncomfortable. Like, he will not do it. He will not take a sip. He will not do any of that stuff. Simply put, that is, if you want to make Tim Haggerty uncomfortable, just bring up drink alcohol with me during a ball game in the booth, and that will make him as uncomfortable as it gets.
Yeah, I think that uncomfortable Tim does make his way onto this program at times. Mm. And he gets out of it by sometimes flipping it to you, Steve. He'll ask you a question. He'll ask me a question. He'll put us on the spot. And I think it's because we throw him on the spot just out of the blue.
I'm going to be at the game tonight. Should I walk in during the game with a beer and then just sit in the booth with him while you know, he's calling it, and maybe I'll get on the headset and I'll do you think Hags would be uncomfortable with me drinking a beer while the game's going on.
He'd probably give you a couple looks.
You think so?
You know, and they'd be the looks that, you know, you don't like. They'd be the purposeful stares, you know?
I got news for you. I've done that before.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
And he looks over to you?
Nah, he was cool.
Oh, I thought he gave you the fingers.
No. I put the beer a little bit off to the side.
Yeah.
I wasn't gonna let it ruin the equipment. Not at all. But when I have been on that broadcast over the last 11 years, at least one occasion, I entered the studio, his broadcast booth, with a beer in hand.
Okay. You know what? As long as it's away from all the equipment, I'm sure that's probably where
I respect that.
Yeah.
I've been in broadcasting 30-plus years. I am not going to put a beverage, whether it's a water, a beer, I don't care what it is, a cup, it will not be anywhere near equipment that could spill and get wet. Nope, not going to happen.
Fair enough. I feel like with Tim, you know, for all these kinds of ideas, you know, to go into the booth, to do the beer,
yep,
you know, all that kind of stuff, I feel like this is the start. This is the first game of a 12-game series. Maybe by game 11 or 12, he's more receptive to stuff like this.
No. I'm telling you right now, while the Lord is my witness, that man will never drink a beer his entire professional career calling a baseball game at any level, unless he's forced to. Unless the big league club, if and when Hags goes up to the show or anywhere else and they say, Hags, hey, you know what? Here you go. I mean, got to realize something. 22 years ago, I'm in New Orleans at Mardi Gras. I'm on the air doing this show. And my boss, my general manager, who's there right behind me, shows up with a 32-ounce Hurricane from Pat O's, hands it to me, and is giggling in the background while he can't even hear the show. He doesn't even know what's going on. He's giggling in the background. Now, I knocked that 32-ounce Hurricane down during sports talk because we were in New Orleans. It was Mardi Gras. That's what you do. But, I mean, there's the difference, Adrian. That's the difference, you know? I can't see Hags. Forget drinking a whole thing. I can't see taking a sip. It's not him. It's not what he wants.
Not in the DNA. Not in the DNA at all.
No.
But it's okay.
Maybe he's got a hot take for us when we come back. We'll find out. Quarter past as we get closer and closer to Chihuahua's baseball. Let's get one last traffic update from Charlie One.
In the El Paso Metroplex, what we have is a crash.